Please have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read several verses there to get us ready for what we're going to consider this evening. Let me just say thank you very much for the opportunity to preach God's word this evening. It's an honor to be able to do so, and certainly a tremendous responsibility as well. And so I appreciate the opportunity, but I would also ask that that anything that I say, that you let me know if there's something that I say that isn't in line with God's word, because that's what we're here for. We're here to listen to what God has to say, not what I have to say or what anybody else has to say, but to listen to him. I'd like to ask you to read with me in Matthew chapter 6 and starting in verse 5. And we will be looking at several scriptures this evening, and they won't be on the screen, so you'll need to have your Bible open and turning to those passages with me. So let's hear the words of Jesus Christ here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." What a powerful and incredible set of verses those are. I mean, these are the kinds of things that remind us that Jesus truly is the master teacher. His words are concise. They drive right to the point. In less time than it would take you to brew a cup of coffee or boot up your computer, at least if it's an old slow one like mine, Jesus covers the essentials of prayer. And in these nine verses, he just revolutionizes everything we've ever thought about praying. And yet, right in the middle of all of that, there is a landmine. A verse that if we step on it, it threatens to blow up everything about prayer. Right in the middle of all this great teaching, suddenly Jesus says something that could just undermine the whole thing. It's a verse that makes us think about maybe just junking prayer completely. When we read it, we're not thinking, am I praying hypocritically, or am I praying like a pagan, or do I need to model my prayer after Jesus' prayer? No, what we're thinking in that one sentence is prayer just pointless? The verse I'm talking about, of course, is verse 8. In verse 8, Jesus says this: "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, God is sovereign. God is omniscient. He is awesome. And in many ways, all of that is very comforting. I don't like the idea of a God who could be out-clevered or out-foxed or caught off guard. And it is wonderful to know that anything we've ever done or thought or you know, God is ahead of that. Before you did it, before you thought it, God was on it. And I like that a lot. And yet, in some ways, when I read verse 8, and I get some comfort out of all of that, suddenly then I get ready to pray, and then there's verse 8. And I'm about to ask God for something, and is verse 8 saying, well, just save your breath? God already knows? Why should we pray when God already knows everything? You ever wondered that? If you haven't, then you sure are now. And many people who have struggled with some of the difficulties and complexities of prayer find verse 8 troubling. And that's precisely where we want to work together this evening. That's what we want to give our full attention to. What good is prayer if God already knows what we're going to pray about before we pray? Does this just put prayer out of business? And the best place, of course, to begin that kind of thinking would be to just do a little bit of Bible study right here where we are. Because verse 8 needs to be connected to verse 7. And in verse 7, the pagans, Jesus says, heap up empty phrases, as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Pagan folks thought that the more they talked, the more likely they were to talk the gods into doing whatever it is that they wanted the gods to do. Jesus counters that idea by saying, don't imagine that you when you approach your Father, who's the one true God in heaven, that he's somehow uninformed of your needs, that you need to give him an update, as if he didn't know, that somehow you have to explain in detail every part of your situation. When you pray, you should know that God, he knows all about you. He knows what you need. He knows what you really should be getting. And in fact, this isn't the last time Jesus says something like that. If you look a little bit further in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, there Jesus talks about seeking first the kingdom of heaven and not being worried about all of those things. Don't get caught up in food and clothing and shelter. He says in verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And so we don't have to go on and on with God. We don't have to feel like we need to update him on our circumstances. We can have confidence that he knows us. He knows what we need. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're facing. And what those verses should do is they should build our confidence in praying. Jesus did not in any way say those things to discourage prayer. Those verses give us strong reason to believe that prayer will be effective. And yet, if we're not careful, as we consider that, we can end up in a place where maybe we get a little bit discouraged about praying. Like somehow when we're done with all this explaining and Bible study and context, instead of rejoicing at God's wonderful knowledge of what we need and his perfect understanding of us as his children, sometimes that might just lead to a giant, why bother? And so let me give you this evening four reasons why we need to pray. Four reasons why we need to keep praying, genuine reasons to talk to God, even though he does know what we need even before we ask. And the very first thing on that list, the first reason why we pray is because God commands us to pray. Let's not make the mistake of thinking that we will decide whether we're going to obey God or not based on whether or not it makes sense to us. Oh, now I understand. So now, God, I'm going to go ahead and do what you told me to do. That's not obedience. And I will attempt this evening to show from the scriptures what God teaches us about prayer and help us see what God wants us to know about prayer. And I hope that will make sense to you. But whether I succeed or fail in that really doesn't make any difference. Because prayer is a command of God that we must obey. Look in Luke chapter 18 with me, please. Here, Jesus wants to tell a parable about this widow who's persistently requesting something from a worldly king. But look at why Jesus says he's telling this parable in verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Or over in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, here's a listing of the armor of God and the things necessary to defeat Satan and his temptations. And if you look at that armor list, the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation and all of that, and notice how that's capped off at the end in verse 18, we are to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. If you're not praying regularly, then this is the word that you need this evening. It is repent and start praying because God commands you to pray. And that's where we need to be certain that we understand that all of the things that we look at this evening, this is a command of God. And we need to obey God's commands. And so that's the first reason why we need to pray, even though God knows everything, because he commands us to. And he knows what's best for us. But of course, that sense of duty and obligation doesn't entirely cover everything, does it? It's enough for us to just go ahead and obey, absolutely. But I would suggest to you this evening that we also want to pray, even though God knows everything, because there is more to prayer than just asking for stuff. If I would say, what's the definition of prayer? Someone would probably say, well, prayer is talking to God. And that's exactly right. And yet when people start saying things like, well, why am I going to pray? Because God already knows what I need before I ask. Then it's obvious that they're defining prayer in a little bit different way, right? Their definition of prayer is getting stuff from God. How do I get stuff from God? You know, that's it. That's what prayer is. God is a machine, and you know, we need to figure out the right combination of phrases and ritual, and so that we press all the right buttons so that God will just dispense blessings the blessings that we desire. And then we read along in Scripture, and it turns out that He already knows what we need before we do any of that stuff. And so, well, why doesn't God just get busy and start sending down those blessings? Like, forget the prayer, God, just give me what I want. If that sounds crass and flawed, it's because it is. Everything about that is horribly wrong. Prayer isn't about how I can crank stuff out of God. Prayer is about talking to God. And there are so many reasons why I would want to talk to God, even though He knows what I need. For example, I need to confess my sins to God. And that doesn't have anything to do with asking for stuff, of course. And it also doesn't have anything to do with the fact that He already knows that I've sinned. Like, in fact, the fact that He knows that I've sinned means all the more that I need to confess my sins to Him, right? And tell Him that I acknowledge those things, that I am asking for forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I would add to that James's wonderful statement in James chapter 5, in a passage that speaks about the power of prayer. Here, prayer is explicitly tied to confessing sin. In James 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I mean, and so this, of course, this confession of sin, it doesn't have anything to do with God's knowledge. God knows that I'm a sinner. God knows exactly what I did and why I did it. But I still need to acknowledge it. I need to show God that I get it. That I understand that there was no excuse for that. There was no rationalization for that. That I know that it was sinful, that I have fallen short of His glory, that I need forgiveness. And when I tell God that, when I confess my sins, I'm certainly not telling God anything He doesn't already know. But I am saying that I see my actions from His point of view, and that I'm turning away from them because I find them repulsive and awful. And I need to be saved. Not only that, not only do I need to confess sins, but I need to be expressing thanks to God in prayer, don't I? In Colossians chapter 2, in Colossians the second chapter, beginning of verse 6, Paul says there, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. And I love this last phrase, abounding in thanksgiving. There's something about walking in Christ that just causes us to overflow with gratitude, to be abounding in thanksgiving. Now, when I tell God that I'm thankful for my blessings, if I really am, like, is that news to Him? Well, of course not. He knows my heart. When you give a child a gift, you know what they're going to say next, right? They're going to say thank you. Otherwise, mom's going to pop them on the head and say thank you. And in the same way, God knows that I'm going to say thank you because He told me to, but you know what? It's still important for me to say it, isn't it? Just as it is important for kids to say thank you, it is important for me to say thank you as well, to abound in thanksgiving. How can I receive so much from God and ignore my obligation for gratitude? The privilege of thanksgiving by saying, well, you know, God, you already know that I feel that way. You know that I'm thankful, so I'm just not going to bother saying it. Like, how inadequate and weak that is. And we could go on and on with a long list of things that we need to be saying to God, even though he already knows the things that we have to say to him. But there's a third reason, then. The first is that he commands us to pray. The second is that there's more to prayer than just asking. The third is that communication is essential to any relationship. And so if we come back to this basic idea, what is prayer? Well, prayer is talking to God. Well, why are we talking to God? Just because we need something? What if in your marriage you never spoke to your spouse except when you needed something? Like, what kind of relationship would that be? What kind of marriage would that be? Someone would say, well, folks who are acting like that, their marriage is in trouble. Well, the fact is, there are some folks whose relationship with God is in trouble because they never speak to God unless they want something. And so then, again, they might come across a verse like the one that we began with that says God already knows what you need before you ask him. And they say, well, I don't even have to do that much. I can just sit in silence and God's supposed to just pour blessings out. And that is just completely and totally messed up. And so maybe it's time for us to redefine prayer a little bit. It's more than just talking to God. It's talking to God because of the relationship that we have with him. Because we love God. Because we want to communicate with him, who is the object of our lives. Isn't it so that's what relationships are about? Sharing and talking and being connected together. If you look over in the Old Testament at 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, we read there about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and who are wicked men. But notice how the Bible terms their wickedness in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. What does that mean? Does that mean that they didn't know facts about God? The one true God, that he created God? Or that he created everything, rather? I mean, they knew the facts. They were sons of the high priest, right? They knew reams of facts about God. They knew about the tabernacle. They knew about all this stuff. But the text says they didn't know the Lord. The word know, that's a word for relationship. That's the word that's used of a man and his wife. Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. It's a word that speaks of a deep relationship, a real connection and desire to be with that person, interest in what interests them, mutual relationship, to care about and enjoy each other and want to be together. And what's always the hallmark of that kind of relationship? Well, there's always a desire to share and to talk and discuss and enjoy together. In fact, in many ways, isn't it true that if you have something really neat happen and you're not with somebody that you really care about, it kind of diminishes what happened to you in some ways? And you just want to talk more than anything. You want to talk to them and share with them and tell them about it. It's been pretty cool. One of the coolest things about having kids is how Catherine and I get to experience that together. And how we get to share the joys of seeing them grow up together. And we're always telling each other, Anna did this, Zeke did this. And to be silly a little bit, oh, Anna waved like that. And Catherine's like, yeah, I know, I saw her do that a couple minutes ago. But still, why am I telling her that? Well, because of the relationship that we have with one another. And the joy that we find in sharing those things with one another. You want to know what's the great thing about God? He is always there for you. He will never miss a day of your life. That great moment, he's always there. And prayer is telling us that God is ready for us to say, I saw that, God. That was amazing. It was so beautiful. The sky full of stars, the way you made them. God is there and ready for us to say, that was so frustrating. It's driving me up the wall. I don't know how much more I can take of this. God, did you see the way he was acting? I can't believe there are ungodly people acting that way. It breaks my heart. God is always there, ready for us to talk to him, to pour our hearts out to him and say, God, you are amazing. God, you are wonderful. God, I need you. God, could you help me here? And what we're talking about is being aware of God, seeing the world through his eyes, so that we are easily and naturally talking to him. Why? Because we have a relationship with him. Because we care about him. And because we know that he cares about us. And so prayer is talking to God because we have a relationship with him. No communication, no relationship. I mean, you probably know somebody who thinks that they have a great relationship with God. And they think that because they pray a lot, but they don't ever read their Bible. You ever met anybody like that? And because they don't ever read their Bible, their lifestyle's way out of whack, and they'll talk about how what a great relationship they have with God, but and you know and I know that they don't have a great relationship with God, even though maybe they think they do. But what about the other extreme? People who are reading their Bible all the time, who know all the facts, who know how to be saved, who know all the things that you're supposed to be doing, and yet are not talking to God very much. The relationship is what? It's all out of whack. And so prayer focuses us on God instead of on ourselves. Yes, we need to be studying the scriptures, and yes, we need to be praying to God. Prayer reminds us of our need for the Lord. It moves us from knowing about God to really loving God, because it's deepening our relationship with God. And that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that God already knows everything about us before we even open our mouth. Finally, then, look with me in James chapter 4. I need you to read with me in James chapter 4, verse 2. Because one of the reasons that we pray, even though God knows what we need before we say anything at all, is revealed to us in this verse. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." One of the reasons why we pray is because God acts when we pray. There's no way around it. The scriptures absolutely teach that when we pray, it changes the way God acts. Think about that for a minute. I mean, we could reason all day and all night and all month and all year about how that works. Like, God knows everything, and so how could our prayer make any difference at all? But the scriptures constantly affirm that when we pray, God acts on the basis of our prayers. God does things because of prayer that he would not have done otherwise. That's exactly what James is affirming here. It's what he says again over in chapter 5 and verse 16. We read this a few moments ago. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much," right? And he's not saying, "Well, oh, just do this for the fun of it, and it's not going to change anything, but he tells you to do it, and so you just have to do it." No. He says, when you pray, it actually makes a difference. It actually changes what the God of the universe is going to do. And he gives proof of that in verse 17. He says, "Elijah was a man," and we say, "Well, Elijah, like, he was a prophet, so of course God would listen to him." "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth." Prayer makes a difference. God acts when we pray. Back in James chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." Why do we pray that prayer? Why do we ask for wisdom? Well, because when we ask God for wisdom, he promises to give us wisdom. Maybe you're thinking, well, why? I mean, why does God do it this way? Why doesn't he just give us wisdom in the first place so that I don't need to ask? Like, why doesn't he just go ahead and give me what I need right now? Why do we have to go through all this hassle? And I think we've already answered that in several ways. It's about our relationship with him. There are all kinds of reasons. But even if we are thinking here in terms of asking for things from God, even if we're thinking in those terms, if God just gave us everything we needed before we even asked him for it, what kind of children would we end up becoming? Like, if, all of us know of someone who has children who just kind of get anything and everything they want before they even ask, and what kind of children does that make? Makes greedy, spoiled, rotten brats, right? That's a model of parenting that we don't want any part of. And so why would we imagine that our Heavenly Father wants spiritual children who are obnoxious, spoiled, and bratty? And perhaps somewhere in here, I should add that our commitment to prayer says something to God about how much we really want what we're asking for. That's exactly the point. Back in Luke chapter 16, where he was introducing that parable, and he goes on to tell that parable about this woman who's pleading with the king for something that she needs, and the king ends up giving it to her because she's bugging him so much. And Jesus' point is not that we should try to bug God necessarily, but he is saying that to tell us that we should be asking him. We should be praying to him, and we should keep praying to him fervently, persistently. And if he does make us wait for an answer to that prayer or for what we want that we're asking for, sometimes he'll make us wait. And if he does, then let's use that time to continue asking him and to ask him more and more and more. That's exactly what Jesus teaches us to do in Luke chapter 16. To spend that time in complete reverence and trust, knowing that he will do what's best. But we've got to keep asking, and we've got to keep praying, because that's what he's showing us that he wants. And when we do that, the scriptures tell us that God does and will act. Maybe the most important thing about all of that is that when we pray like that, that's when we know that God has acted. Like when he hears those prayers, and then we look back on it and somehow that prayer is answered. Maybe in a way we didn't expect, maybe in a way that's better than we ever expected. You've probably experienced that if you've been praying. But if God just gave us stuff, well, we wouldn't know if it's just random coincidence, him raining on the just and the unjust, or if it's the blessings of God that we have asked for. If we have pursued the Lord in prayer, when we go to James 4 and verse 2, and when we have said, I'm going to ask, and I don't want to be doing without because I didn't ask, and so God, I'm asking, and I'm going to ask all that I can ask. When we do that, then when God answers that prayer, we can know that that answer came from God. And we can be thankful, and we can give him the glory for what he has done. And someone says, I don't see the hand of God in my life. Are you praying? Are you really praying? Are you actually saying the words to God? Because when you do that, that's when you start to see. As you pray, as you mark out the areas in your life where you need the action of God, that's when you start to see the action of God in your life. And that's when you're able to give him glory. And all of that, once again, gives value to prayer beyond God knowing what we need before we ask. And so I think in many ways, those points help us with prayer and help us with Matthew 6 and verse 8. But I should be honest with you, it doesn't answer everything. There's a lot about God partnering with humans that I just don't understand. Like, for example, why does God want us to tell our neighbors about Jesus? God could surely do that so much better than I could. He could just cut us out of the loop. Like, I don't need people. I'm just going to thunder a big voice from heaven. And, you know, God could send angels to preach. Angels could preach circles around any of our preachers. But I'm just sure there are a million ways that God could get that accomplished so much better than to put gospel treasure in earthen vessels. Or why does God ask us to do good to people, to help, you know, someone who's poor? Like, God could just poof up groceries for anybody and everybody. Why does God use his people? I don't know. I'm amazed that God partners with us, that an all-wise, almighty God who can do so much, limits himself by what his servants are willing to do. As we are his hands and his feet and his tools in this world. God surely does not need us. But he has chosen to work through us. And so it is with prayer. Could God get by without prayer? Yeah, he absolutely could. But as surely as God could get by without it, we can't. And so he has chosen it as his instrument to help us, as a means that he will respond to, so that we can have a relationship with him. And so we should be so thankful that we have the opportunity to build a relationship with him, because we need to pray. We need to pray, even though God knows everything that we will say to him before we say it. And so instead of being discouraged by that, or deciding that we're going to put prayer on the scrap heap of useless ideas, let's rejoice that our Father lets us pray and urges us to pray and begs us to pray and commands us to pray. Let's pray and pray some more and then pray even more, that we might have the depth of relationship with God that can only come through prayer. Would you pray with me about that right now? Lord our God, we are amazed that you hear us when we pray. You are awesome and powerful, and we're amazed that you listen to us, that you sent your Son to die for our sins and to make this avenue of prayer even possible. And we give you all the glory and honor for this. And we ask, God, that you will forgive us when we use you and when we use this wonderful ability to pray as some way to lever stuff out of you. Forgive us, God, when we are so short-sighted about our prayer. Help us to pray better. Help us to seek you. Help us to seek deeper relationships with you, deeper connection with you, to know you. Help us to see that prayer is the way that we can do just that. And so we ask, God, that you would bless our praying, that our prayers would be real and true and pleasing to you. It's in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. If you would get a songbook out, please, and turn to the Song of Invitation. What a great time to sing an invitation song. Because God certainly hears everything. You can't whisper and God not be aware of that. But in his word, God only promises to respond to his children who have believed and repented of their sins and been baptized to wash away our sins. And only his children can pray in full confidence. And so we invite you this evening to become a child of God, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, to be added to the body of Christ. And if you are a child of God and you're away from him, you need to pray. You need to pray and ask for forgiveness. You need to repent of your sins. And if it's the case that you've done something between you and him, you could pray right now and ask him for forgiveness of that. If it's the case that you've done something that is public and needs to be, you need to ask for the forgiveness of your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. This is your opportunity to do that as well. If we can help you to get to heaven, we'd love to help you with that this evening. Let us know as we stand and sing.